Well, it's a judicious question. You want to be in the right chapter.
Just in case. We missed something, right?
That's true. You never know. Someone could have slipped in a time machine. Okay, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13 again. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Or you're fixin' to die. If all you have is the flesh, you are fixin' to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What's the only way that can come about? Yes, if you have the new birth. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That would be your old man. No. The old man would not be led by the Spirit of God because our old man is the enemy of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. By what process did we gain the spirit of adoption? In the new birth. In the new birth. We were merrily rolling along through Romans, doing a survey and looking at landmarks as we passed by, but when we got to chapter 6, we slowed way down. Why was that? That's when the new birth comes in. Absolutely. Verse number 16, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be, that we may suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah, we're going to get to verse number 28 in due course. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we with patience do wait for it. Okay, back to our slide for tonight. Get it started here. Okay, which point was I on when we left off last time? I think I had just started this slide. Okay, all right, well, let's look at verse number 22. The first bullet point says, though we are new creations in Christ, God has left our corrupted bodies as a link to the present groaning, present preposition showing union and sighing or lamenting. Creation. And of course, rather than just take my word for it or take this verse in isolation, let's look for some supporting scriptures. First is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If you get there before I do.
Any man be in Christ?
Oh, you can do it from memory. This is wonderful.
He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are new creations in Christ, but there's this body problem. And that's what the scriptures that we've been considering recently are all about. We are still groaning within this body, waiting for the redemption of this body. And all the creation is now in a fallen state, also waiting for that time. For at the time we receive our new resurrection bodies, the curse will be lifted from the creation. And that's going to be a wonderful time. We'll call it the millennial kingdom. It's going to be a great time. But is it the ultimate time? No, the ages of the ages is the ultimate time.
And the ones who come from Jacob's trouble into the millennial, and those who are born into it will still have the old bodies?
Yes.
But they won't have the devil tempting them.
The devil won't be tempting them, and how do we know? What is the proof that those that carry on out of the time of Jacob's trouble into the millennium, and those during the millennium still live in the old corrupted bodies?
Because at the end, well, number one, if they haven't received Christ, if they don't believe, then by 100 years old, they'll die, and at the very end, when the devil is let loose, they're going to come against them.
Yes, and would their new man do such a thing? No. No. They're under the thraldom of the fallen body. Yes. Now, could they be saved? Yes, of course they could be saved. There will be millennial saints. And how do we know that? What sort of a score do you suppose you'd get on an essay test if you wrote that? Because it says so in my textbook. You need chapter and verse in the textbook. This is an open book thing. Yes. Okay. God has left us in our corrupted bodies. 1 Peter 1:23. First Peter.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen. So are we new creations in Christ? Yes, we just looked at a couple of scriptures that says that we are. But why are we still waiting in hope? Yes, for the body. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he made him body, soul, and spirit because that's the way he intended to make man. Did Satan in any way foil God's plan? No, certainly not. He has served as a useful idiot, but that's just about it. What is God's perfect plan concerning man and his redemption? He's to be redeemed body, soul, and spirit. Spirit first in the new birth, soul second in the process of sanctification, and body last in the resurrection. It's a beautiful plan. God puts it all right back together again. First bullet point again. God has left our corrupted bodies as a link to the present groaning creation. Psalm 6:1. Psalm chapter 6 and verse number 1. Somebody must be more nimble than me. Okay, Psalm 6 and verse number 1. All the verses. Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim, I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief, it waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication, the Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Do you have a heading for this psalm in your Bible as to who it's attributed to? Sure. How does he start the psalm off? Yes, I've committed so grievous a sin. Not only is my body afflicted by this, but my soul, verse 3, is also sore vexed. And he asked the question, O Lord, how long? Isn't that what we're talking about in Romans chapter 8? The creation was made subject to vanity, as the body of man was made subject to vanity and death, and how long is it going to be? Wow, that's kind of a familiar cry for we humans, is it not? Sure. In verse number 6, he says, I'm weary with my groanings. All the night I make my bed to swim, my couch, I water my couch with my tears. Sounds like he's just having a wonderful time. Groanings? Does it sound like groanings to you? Yes, and if we would be real, wouldn't we be saying the same thing? I have this albatross hung around my neck that I can't get rid of. How long? How long? But then comes the triumph. Verse number 8, Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. What is repentance? It's a turning away, a change of heart, or a sorrow for sin. Does it sound like David has had repentance here? We know what that feels like. But the question now is, from whence does repentance come? David just dreamed this up. He called in a really good emotional preacher and preached him up to a place where he said, Oh, wow. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. The Lord's heard my voice. He's heard my supplication. He's heard my prayer. How did he know that? Because he attended an emotional prayer meeting. Where does repentance come from? Huh? Well, yes, it's a change of the heart, but where does it come from?
A deep sorrow and realizing just who we are.
That's the substance of repentance, but it doesn't ask the question of where it comes from. Does man drum it up within himself? Yes, God gives repentance. Where do we get faith? Same thing. These are acts of a sovereign and merciful God. Verse 10, his triumph. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. You know, there's a time coming for us that'll be just like that. What time will that be? When exactly, when we're manifested as we return with him. Absolutely. How about John chapter 11 and verse 33? John chapter 11 and verse number 33. Sighing, lamenting, groaning. Is Jesus immune? Verse 33. This is God himself incarnate in the flesh. Don't forget that as we read these verses, and yet he's taken upon himself the form of a man. I mean, really, a man. Not a phantasmagoria man. Not a ghost man. A real, live, human being. Without sin, because sin is not a human attribute. It is now, after the fall, but it is not an essential human attribute. Verse number 33 then. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What's going on here? Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Oh, it almost sounds like those Jews in John chapter 8. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. Haven't you heard, Jesus? No, they are far from dead. By the way, do you think Lazarus was a believer?
Yes.
He certainly was. Absolutely. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now the question here is, why did Jesus groan? And why was he troubled? It's because he had absolutely no idea he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, it just occurred to him on the spur of the moment.
No?
No? He loved them.
Yeah, he felt their pain.
He did. Just like Bill Clinton. Didn't he say, I feel your pain? That's what humans do when they say they feel someone else's pain. That's what they mean.
He just hated the state of the world.
That's it. He's groaning here because of the state of the creation. That death has entered in. And he loves these Jews who hate him. He doesn't just love Mary and Martha. He loves the Jews that came along. And what is their lament? They think Lazarus is dead and gone. Would they be lamenting if they knew Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom? Well, yes, there is a parting, but on the other hand, even though we'll miss their company, we're certainly glad that they've gone on ahead of us, and where they are, we'll soon enough be there in just the blink of an eye as time goes. Sure, what you say is true, but this is something that's deeper here. Jesus now is groaning. Look at verse 33. He groaned in the Spirit. And was troubled.
It had to come to this.
Why is Jesus troubled? Yes, of course. what happened in the Garden of Eden had to come to this. Question still remains. Why is Jesus troubled and why is he groaning?
He told him.
Because he really does feel their pain? He told them what? Sorry?
He told them what was going to happen. He told them what he could do, and they still didn't believe it. Even those that were closest to him.
Yes. Yes.
That's wrong.
That's true, because if you back up to verse number 32, what does Mary say? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What's her understanding of Jesus' power?
That it can't surpass death.
Or if you had been...
He had to be in the near vicinity.
Yes! Yeah! Absolutely! If you'd have been right here, this wouldn't have happened.
Do you...
Yes. Okay. What's... Pardon?
Well, she doesn't realize that he has the power over death. That he could bring him back to death. From death.
She didn't realize that he wasn't dead at all in the biblical sense of death. What does death mean in the scriptures? It means separation, and separation from God. Lazarus was never separated from God, but he was separated from these people and their suffering. Okay, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? There's a support for what you said. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. So here we look in on a scene where corruption has brought about groaning and weeping, even on the part of those that believed in Jesus. Now, immediately someone will say, but they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's true. They will soon enough. But that is true. Nonetheless, the point is that the entire creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, even the now in which we live. But there's a time when the creation will be set free, and will be set free of that albatross called the old man, and what a glorious day that's going to be. As advertised, we'll get to Romans 8:28 in due course and maybe have one or two small remarks concerning that verse. Back to the slide. Until now. To this day, there's been no evolution, no progress, despite all the promises of the progressive. Jeff brought a book with him tonight that elucidates this point. What was the title of that book?
Why Socialism Works.
And what was printed on every page?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. And how many pages are there?
A lot of pages.
Man's way has been tried over and over and over, time immemorial. It has never worked. That golden age that the sages have been promising since the Garden of Eden, it has never yet come to pass. Progressives. What does the word progressive even mean? It means progress, doesn't it? Has the human race made progress since the Garden of Eden?
Not spiritually.
Has it made progress in any other area? Bitcoin aside, of course.
Well, like plumbing and
oh, indoor plumbing.
Industrial, I mean, you know, everything that we've got.
Oh, you mean man has been able to bend the creation to his purposes? Who made that possible?
God.
Yes, he did say to subdue the creation, didn't he? What was that, Rod?
So I personally plotted toilet paper.
Triple
plot.
Yes, absolutely. So you could be excused for squeezing the Charmin. Man has made progress in certain areas. But we've touched enough on that. So let's press on. Well, what does Jesus say? Where have you laid him? Then what do the Jews say in verse 36? Behold how he loved him. Like the tears prove that he loved him. Didn't we have pictures, television pictures, of Bill Clinton crying? Yes, I'm reminded of that. Yes, as soon as the camera panned over to him. Did that mean that he was really concerned? Maybe he was singing John Brown's Body and it was supposed to be Ron Brown's Body and somebody straightened him out and that ruined his whole day.
Well, and they used the past tense loved.
Yes.
They used the wrong tense.
That's true, because he's dead. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. No, Lazarus isn't dead. Wouldn't you have loved to have been sitting at the table with Lazarus? Whole people decided they wanted to sit down and see what Lazarus had to say. We're not told, but what do you suppose he had to say?
Why'd you bring him back?
Exactly. I think Samuel said something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Took the witch of Endor quite by surprise. Man, can you imagine her consternation? I've done this incantation 100 times and it's never worked until just now. How dare you disturb me? Well, I'm not dead. Has man made any progress?
Not spiritually at all.
No. And has man's attempt to bend the creation to his purposes really improved the lot of man?
No.
I know you could point to one glowing example, Facebook. Oh, wait, it's Google.
Toilet paper would be a good example.
Oh, toilet paper is better than Google. Okay, I'd have never guessed that on my own. I'm not that sort of cynic. Man has made no progress. Even with all the technological things. Is he morally any better than Cain? No progress has been made. 2 Peter 2:9. Second Peter 2:9. Yes, because they thought that after 3 days, no one could ever be brought back to life again. That was their superstition. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. He told his disciples that very thing, did he not? Lazarus isn't sleeping. Lazarus is dead. He's been dead 4 days. All hope is lost. No. Not at all. Okay, then 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Is your mind kind of turned to the political scene today? And they say the Bible's an old book and has no relevance to the things of today because we've progressed far beyond biblical times. Ha! Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as those that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Just a little pause to let that sink in. I know it has no relevance to what's happening today, but nonetheless. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart which they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. If you're waiting for me to say Congress, forget it. I'm not going to say that. Verse number 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following in the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Well, they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therefore and overcome. The latter end is worse with them the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And you wonder why, when Peter preached, people got upset. What's he saying about the present course of the creation? And when you look at it, does it look like a page out of today's newspaper? Of course it does, because man has made no progress.
Even Pogo knew that.
Yes. We have seen the enemy, and he is us. Sure enough. Wells without water. Huh. Clouds carried about with a tempest. Unstable souls. Beguiling others.
Dumb and speaking with man's voice.
Yes, even politicians made it in here. It's all there.
Yeah, well, the Democrats don't have any
it's all there. I think we're talking about the general malaise spiritually of mankind here. We can't affix a political party to it. All men are just the same.
Is perverted by mankind.
It is.
The computer, internet, with all that. It's just
the point that we're making here is that in spite of all the great swelling words that man speaks, we're in exactly the same fix today that they were in at the time that Peter put these words to parchment. It hasn't changed one little bit. And since we're almost there, Jude 8, we read from Jude this morning, didn't we? Jude 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Do you suppose the time the devil is going to come when the devil has said, "I wish he'd have just made the railing accusation, because this lake of fire is really not much fun." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What is Jude saying here? These enemies that are on the outside, they're the danger? No, he's saying that right in amongst yourselves, these are perverse persons acting and speaking like this as natural brute beasts. Churchianity is what Jude is talking about here. I could ask the question, just take a little poll. What force do you think sends more men to hell? The demon rum? Or religion? Pardon? There you go. Sure. Verse 13. Pardon?
Oh, nothing. I was just going to comment. It's so subtle how that
is. Oh, yes. They speak great swelling words. Boy, they sure sound good to people. 40 days of promise. Man, that sounds good. Let's just follow this new high exalted mucky muck teacher's latest doctrine, and all will be well. Here's a formula for being blessed of God. It always works so well, doesn't it?
Tickling ears.
Sure. The health and wealth gospel people. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. That's familiar verbiage, isn't it? Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Remember, we're not talking about the people that are downtown at Barney's Tavern. What do people downtown at Barney's Tavern know about spiritual things? Nothing. They wouldn't be able to speak great swelling words if somebody wrote them down on a piece of paper or put them on a teleprompter. Jude is warning us to watch out for these people that come in amongst us. Anytime a teacher deviates in the slightest from preaching right out of this book, he's suspect. And any teacher that tries to take a verse out of context and use it as a pretext, take warning. What's the best way to know what the Scripture says? Compare script. I believe that's what we're in the process of doing even now. There's been no progress by mankind. The progressives have promised that if we'll just follow their plan, we'll enter into a golden age and it will be wonderful. How many iterations of this very thing has the human race known since the Garden of Eden? Over and over and over. Three of them are mentioned right here in verse number 11. Jude is writing primarily to the Jews, because they'd know about the way of Cain, wouldn't they? Am I my brother's keeper? It's every man for himself, baby. How about Balaam?
He was a prophet for hire.
Prophet for hire. Yes. Yes. Have false doctrine, will travel.
And he wanted, was he the one that wanted to buy the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And Corey, Korah in the Old Testament. They thought Moses was a little bit uppity, didn't they? They despised government, God's established order. What happened to them? The earth opened and swallowed them up. They went alive down into the pit because they had a better plan, this Moses. What does he know? God, what does he know? We have a better plan. We have a kinder, gentler approach. And we know how that worked. Okay, yes. Yes, tongue in cheek. Godly wisdom is the only true wisdom.
Man couldn't do that.
No, because man has no wisdom in and of himself. He has surmisings, he has ideas, but he has no wisdom unless he gets it from God. Okay, next point. Romans 8:23. Let's go back there. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So for us, all of the claims of the progressive should fall on a deaf ear, because we know better, because we're not there yet. And if we're not there yet, as believers, where are they as non-believers? So that problem sort of rectifies itself. But then we come to verse number 23. And not only they, who's the they? I know the translators added it, but in this case, makes it a bit clearer. The they is the creation, mentioned in the previous verse. but ourselves also. So we don't have to look just at the creation, because this is something that we also know ourselves. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, what does the term first fruits imply? Yes, but there's going to be more. The first fruits is the promise, the earnest of the crop that is yet to come in full, right? Don't you love that first time the cherries and other kinds of fruits show up in the store? It's not as much a joy now since we import this stuff from all over the world, but there was a time when you had to wait until the first fruits came in to taste these things. And when you tasted it, what did you know? There'll be more to come, and it'll be even better.
Even the air smells like it. It comes from orchard areas.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, verse 23 again. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, why would we groan? Somebody would say, wait till you're my age. But is there more to it than that? By the way, that is part of it. But is there something...
We know there's more better stuff coming.
Yes, because of the first fruits. But why are we groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body?
Because we still have the old man.
Yes, the flesh. What troubles you more? Your old man, your flesh, or the occasional maladies that you suffer as you age?
The old man.
The old man. Oh, yes, by far. By far. Wouldn't you take a double dose of the failings of age if you could escape the old man?
Well, you wouldn't have the failing of age is because of the old man.
Well, that's true, but where do most of the groanings come from?
The sadness of what could have been, but you didn't. You failed to see the path to God, to know Him.
Sure. There's some of that. We groan over those years that were wasted before we knew Him, surely. But still, even after we know Him, and that's what Paul's talking about, we that have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also are groaning, waiting for the redemption of our body. That old man. It's not just the creaking joints and the aching joints. Far worse than that is that moral albatross hung around our neck, so much so that Paul says in the previous chapter, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay, second to the last bullet point. We're out of time, but let's at least read this. Romans 8:23, not only they, parentheses, the fallen creation plus us, and then 2 Corinthians 4:14-5:8, which we'll have to wait till next time to get to, and especially 2 Corinthians 5:2, I'm reading this so you can read ahead if you want to, who more than we are able to sympathize with the state of the animals, seeing that they're in an even worse fix than we are. Aren't you glad that the process of sacrificing children to Moloch was an isolated incident? What was that process? Passing children through the fire to Moloch. What did they do? They heated up an iron idol till it was nice and hot, and then placed the baby in the idol's arms and burned the baby to death. A child sacrifice. Do you have any idea what a saline abortion is? Yes, but think of all the technology that we have that make a saline abortion possible. I mean, the idea of heating up an iron idol, why, any old caveman could do that. It takes high tech to do a saline abortion. Look at all the progress that's been made. Can I take my tongue out of my cheek yet? There's been no progress. Man is the same fallen wretch that always he was. Didn't you like that first song, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory? We'll get to the 28th verse, dear hearts. But for now, let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to thank you tonight